Please do be seated. And I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we've certainly been getting an increase of literature through our letterboxes over the past week or so, haven't we? And I think when I turned into Calder Rise this morning, I may have noticed a small poster on one of the fences. I think if it was a bit bigger, it would be easier to see. But I'm sure other political organisations do exist. And we've even got the situation where, you know, the leaders of the Anglican Church are coming out and making some statements. It's a time when we're looking and deciding, you know, who do we want to be our leaders? Very importantly, at a local level, you know, who are the people who we think are going to get stuff done? Who do we want as our leaders? And actually, the Catholics have also just got a new leader, Vincent Nichols, in the UK. So, you know, there's lots thinking about our leaders. And we've had our attention focused on Parliament and one or two expenses that have got through the system somehow, all apparently above board. So there's a huge focus on leadership. And the passages today actually cover that same topic. There's the passage in Acts where we look at who is going to replace Judas. And maybe instead of all going down the polling stations, we should just have, you know, lots, you know, like, you know, who's going to draw the short straw and, you know, be in. Maybe that's a quicker way of doing it. And actually, given what's going on in Parliament as a whole, maybe you'd get a better turnout that way. But there's, you know, they're talking about leadership. And you'll see some notes in Partnership News. The church some time ago, some people published a report saying moral without compass and asking that, you know, the church should have a better leadership role in society, and that was a result of that resulted in the article, bits of which are pulled out in the notes, because it's important that we do see ourselves as leaders, and we have the drawing of lots to see who's going to replace Judas in that band of 12 leaders of that of the early church. And then we get to the gospel reading. And in John's gospel, you remember, we don't have an account of the Last Supper. We get the washing of the disciples' feet, and Chris Izzard was talking about that a few weeks ago. And then the piece about the vine, I am the vine. And towards the end of that passage, the disciples say, "We get it now. We understand who you are and what your mission is all about." And it's as if from that point, Jesus is able to begin completing his task. And the passage that we have in John's Gospel today is Jesus' prayer. And it's split into three parts. The first part is where Jesus prays for himself and prays that the Father's glory would be revealed. And that's when he talks about he is completing the task that God the Father has given him to do and to reveal on earth. It's almost as if it's a direct response to the disciples saying, "We get it." The second piece of that prayer is the bit we had read for us today, which is where Jesus prays specifically for the disciples, for those leaders. And then the third bit of the prayer is where he prays for all believers. So the piece that we had read today is focused on the apostles, the leaders of the early church. And then after the prayer is finished, it says they leave where they were, which is Jerusalem, and he crosses the Kidron Valley. And I know that Wendy's just back from her pilgrimage, so she can
go tomorrow.
Oh, you go tomorrow. Oh, so you'll see that it's just down the hill and up to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's when Jesus leaves. So he's just about to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, which is, you know, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour away. That's where we are in the story. But what we get in the passage we had today was a real insight into the compassion and the love and the care and the concern that Jesus has for those disciples and those early church leaders. When you think of everything that's gone on until now in the Gospels and how they've mixed things up and haven't quite got the right end of the stick, this is a risky endeavour that Jesus is about to engage upon. Leaving his church with a bunch of people who, yes, have understood what it's all about, but have only just understood. And Jesus prays for them, and he prays for the leaders. And it's a prayer that we as a church should take to our hearts as we pray for our leaders, the leaders in our churches, the leaders in our society, and for our own role as leaders, because in our own ways, we all are leaders. Yes, there are some with defined leadership roles in the churches, but part of what the Bible Notes in Partnership News say, we are all leaders. And Jesus prays four things. The first thing he prays for the disciples is for God to protect them. The first thing that's at the top of his mind is, Father God, protect these disciples. Protect them with your love. And it's a bit like, I guess, a parent who sees their child leaving to, you know, first day at school or leaving home to go to university or something like that. And there's a sense of, Lord, look after them. You know, stepping out into something new, look after them. Please, you know, don't let them get in with the wrong crowd. You know, don't let them meet up with the wrong kind of people. You know, we all know the kinds of thoughts that we have. But ultimately, we have to let go, because that's part of life. And Jesus is letting the disciples go and saying, Father, protect them. And there's an interesting piece in the gospel where, you know, there's a sense in which the disciples think that they have chosen Jesus, because that's what followers normally do to a rabbi or a teacher. They decide who they're going to follow. And there's a real sense in which God has chosen these disciples and has lent them to Jesus for a while, and Jesus is now giving them back into God's care. It's a bit like the Patek Philippe watch advert that you see on the back of magazines. You never really own one. You just pass it on to the next generation. And there's a real sense in which Jesus is cherishing the disciples, is thanking the Father for them and saying, here they are. Please protect them again now. Jesus prays for the protection of the leaders of the church. The next thing he prays for is that they would be united. He says that they would be one as you and I are one. And being John, he slips in some theology, because in there, if God were just one, he wouldn't need to be united with himself. It's because he is a triune God, the God of the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, that they are united in the Godhead. And John sort of slipped in a bit of theology in this prayer, because that's the nature of John. But he's saying, let them be united. The unity, just as he has unity with the Father, so that they would have unity in the early church. And sometimes we think of unity as something we strive for and something that we all come together so we can be united. But the model that John gives us here is we are united because we are united in the worship of the Father. We have that unity, but it's something that can get fragmented. And we've all seen these nature programs, or, you know, certainly in the African bush or somewhere like that, where there's a herd of animals and one gets separated from the rest, and that's the one that gets eaten. And the cameras like to show you it getting eaten. And that's the sense that Jesus has here, you know, that they would be united so that they don't splinter, so that they don't get picked off, so that they don't inadvertently wander away and suddenly find the believing something else. He prays that they would be united. And one of the things that kind of got me going in the article for the Church Times was it was a time when, you know, the Lambeth Conference was going on. There'd just been a separate GAFCON conference of other Church of England leaders in a different part of the world doing something else. Doesn't strike me as unity. And yet Jesus is saying unity, and the unity that we have is so important. Have that unity the same way as Christ has that unity with the Father. And then he says that we would experience that joy. The joy that he has experienced as he sees the disciples understanding what Christ's mission is about. The joy that he sees of them beginning to understand that they are now part of that mission. And they need to be united with each other, because without being united with each other, they can't hope to be united with Jesus. And if they're not united with Jesus, they can't hope to reflect his glory in the world. But if they are, so they will see God breaking through in individual circumstances. They'll see God transforming lives, transforming societies, transforming the very way that individuals are. And that will be their true source of joy. So he prays that they would be protected. He prays for their unity. He prays that they would have joy. And he also prays that they would be sanctified, that they would be set apart and made holy. And then John says, and it's through the word of God. And remember, John's the gospel writer who says Jesus, you know, the Logos, you know, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is through the work of Christ, of accepting Christ into our hearts, that we are sanctified, that we are made holy. By drinking in the word of God, by drinking in the word that was made flesh, by drinking in Christ. It is through our relationship with Christ that we are sanctified and that we are called to be those leaders that will reflect the glory into the world. When we look at our leaders, when we think of the leaders that we're about to elect, when we think of the leaders of the church, our prayer should be that those leaders are protected, that they won't stray off, that they won't get picked off, but they would be protected by God for the work that he has called them to. Our prayer should be that they will be united. Just as Jesus was united with the Father, so our leaders need to be united in the task in which they're engaged. The more we are united, the more that we can fulfill that task. Our leaders should be experiencing the joy of seeing lives transformed, of seeing situations transformed. And our leaders should be open to being sanctified, to being made more holy, as they immerse themselves in the Word of God and immerse themselves in that relationship with Jesus. That should be our prayer for our leaders. Not just now, when everybody's talking about leadership, but at all times, and for all of us, because we are called, as well as to be Christ's followers, to be his leaders too. Amen.